Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Easy, most known unknown Easy Oso, checking in with you one more again. Got a good show today happening. Got a special guest coming on, and I believe he's on right now. Let me see if I can get him on the line. Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, Cookie Man? How you feeling?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, man. For those of you that don't know, this is a good friend of mine, Mr. Lamont Williams. Very powerful person in Chicago, a man of respect, a man that I respect, definitely. He's doing a lot as far as Chicago organizations. He's definitely got a lot of accolades as far as I'm concerned. You want to introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about yourself?
You are far too kind, Ernest. But, yeah, sure, I will tell people a little bit about myself. My name is Lamont Williams. I'm an attorney with Nyhan, Bambrick, Kinsey, and Lowry. I practice workers' comp defense and civil litigation defense. I'm involved with various organizations across Chicago. I'm a new member with the 100 Black Men of Chicago. I'm on the board, the associate board for the Just the Beginning Foundation, and I'm on the board of directors for MLER, just to name a few things that I'm into. And I'm excited to be here talking with Ernest and Calvin. And, happy to be here.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get K down on. He's a little preoccupied right now, but he should be on the bus. But it's good to hear from you, man. Always good to hear from you. So what me and K down was discussing earlier in the week was, of course, the thing that happened on Facebook Live with the for African-American youth and special needs male. And I was telling him about my problems with the way it was being shown and the issue I had with the news and the way they always portray us and how things are working. Actually, okay, we just got K-Down coming on, so I'm going to bring him on. Give me a quick second here. Hello?
Yeah. What up?
What's going on, K-Down?
Not much. What's good?
What's going on, Cal?
Yeah, I was just breaking down and giving a month a little skinny on what we was talking about earlier in the week. And like I said, I feel like what they get, they deserve, although I think in most cases, no bail at all is pretty harsh, because I've seen or I've heard about a lot of cases where people get some type of bail, but I digress. For what they did, they should be punished.
I mean, so... I've had several discussions regarding this topic throughout the week. I myself have not watched the video. I refuse to watch the video. I have a nephew who is a child with special needs, and to see something like that would just infuriate me. So I read the transcripts of the video. I read the multitude of reports, and I agree. I believe that the way the media portrays perpetrators who are African American versus perpetrators who are usually white. I believe the media usually portrays minority perpetrators, not just black, but Latino, Asian, whoever it may be, in a more negative light than they do a white perpetrator. I believe that they will most likely look for some type of mitigating factor, some type of explanation to rationalize or not rationalize, but somewhat downplay the actions of the white perpetrator, whereas minority perpetrators are painted black and white, like they are evil, they are this, without any explanation as to their actions. Now, in this particular circumstance, I don't think so what I just described, I would say, would be the general feeling I have whenever something like this comes up. Obviously, a crime's a crime, and a criminal's a criminal. Race should not play a factor. I do believe that, too. This particular incident, I don't think race really is the biggest concern, as much as the media will want to focus on it, as much as it will be used by those who have an agenda to stir up controversy among racial lines. You can already start to hear white apologists using this as their scapegoat go-to argument for anything black related. Like, well, what about those Chicago teens who did X, Y, and Z? I mean, all black people, when this story came out, I'm pretty sure already heard those arguments coming from, you know, white adversaries. But like I was saying, I don't think that this particular incident has anything to do with race. I think the actions taken by those four individuals, and they were imbeciles. They were morons. Like, they showed no conscience. Now, I spoke with a principal at a high school where I was volunteering as yesterday, and I was told that those individuals knew the victim because they all went to the same school for children with special needs. So one of the things that came up is, you know, this wasn't really reported on in the news. It was just made to seem like Chicago teenagers went out and just found their target because he was white, because he had special needs, and they just tortured him. Now it's slowly coming out, but it's not really being reported on because it doesn't fit the narrative that the media wants to craft of, like, oh, blacks are taking vengeance, or they're killing all white folks out of racial hatred. You know, these kids are already charged with a hate crime. But the thing I think that's important to always keep in mind is judge the crime first, and then these other factors are insignificant. Now, if it comes out that these kids did not have diminished capacity, that they were just being evil people, which I believe the action of what they did to this kid was evil. You know, I don't want to see anybody, I don't care, black, white, purple, green, polka dot, doesn't matter. No one should be treated, no one should have to be tortured the way this individual was. So I'm ready to condemn these kids. But to make it a racial issue, I think would be missing the point. You know, this was just a heinous act. Now, I like to draw parallels because you have this action, which is gaining mainstream notoriety, mainstream attention, because it's poor white kid with special needs targeted by these vicious savages, brutes that are black from Chicago. That's the narrative that's being crafted for the nation to eat up. But this same media is ignoring the fact that we saw something just as heinous, if not premeditated, if not more atrocious and despicable, happen in Idaho, where these three white kids harassed this black football player. They were all football players, but these white football players harassed one of their teammates who had special needs. He was autistic, I believe. And they did this over months. Like, this was not an isolated incident like the Facebook Live video. This was continued systematic harassment, which led to the white perpetrators in Idaho sodomizing this black kid with a hanger. Now, you heard nothing about this. This barely registered on the news at all. And most recently, these kids were the ringleader, the white evil perpetrator in that circumstance out there in Idaho. He was allowed to plead to a lesser charge, wasn't charged with a hate crime, wasn't charged with anything. Pled to a lesser charge and was sent home. There was no probation. There was no fine. There was no jail time. The judge literally took his guilty conviction that he pled to a lower crime. The prosecution allowed him to plead to a lower crime, and then they sent him home. He got in his family's SUV, and they drove back home, never to speak of this again. And my only issue with drawing these parallels is, if America truly wants us to believe the farce of equality that they keep perpetuating, that we're equal, that we're better than the rest of the nation, the rest of the world, because we have democracy and we're equal, we're leaders of the free world. It's BS when you see circumstances like this. Like, you're literally treating citizens and crime different, and the most prevailing factor between the different treatment is the race of the perpetrator and the race of the victim. You take three white kids who sodomized and systematically harassed an autistic black teen for months. Nobody's indicted. Nobody's sent to jail. Nobody's convicted. They plead to lesser charges, don't have to register as a sex offender, and they shoved a hanger into the rectum of – they raped the kid. They raped him. And they're not being registered or they're not being vilified or anything. That happened in Idaho months ago, right, in 2016, months ago. And you don't hear that. But now you hear about what happened on Facebook Live. And also, and I mean, one could make the argument that, okay, they published it on Facebook Live, and that's what drew so much attention because so many people were able to see it. And it was, like, shared and retweeted. I will agree
that's
with that.
That's what
argument.
I was going to ask about. Is it a difference because they have the video footage? You can actually see it. Does it make a difference? Because that's what I heard a lot of. That happened, but you didn't with the case with the black or African American and what happened with him. They were saying, well, you couldn't see that and you didn't know that was going on, and so it's kind of a different feel. And I'm like, I don't really see it that way, but I can understand if you're visioning it that way. But I think sometimes people are made to protect themselves from that when it comes to white people. No offense.
But I think I'm sorry, K-Down, go ahead.
For people who say, well, it's different because they put that on Facebook Live, I say this. If I kill someone in the house, does it make it any less crimeful than if I killed them in the street? It's still the same thing.
That's what I was...
You're still doing the crime, no matter if you saw it or not. You're still doing the crime.
And I agree with you.
You still got caught.
I agree with you. I think there's validity to that argument in as much as so many people were able to see it. But the thing about it is, if it was on Facebook Live, if Facebook removed it or whatever, the media has now perpetuated this horrific image. And the thing that kills the thing that kills me is we have gotten to a point where I understand that they publish it on Facebook, and that's atrocious. But we've gotten to the point where media sensationalizes all of this and keeps showing these same images, and we're becoming desensitized to what we see. Like, no one – you should not become desensitized to seeing torture, abuse, death, murder. And the more they keep showing these images, the more they keep desensitized. Like, it's becoming normalized. And that's dangerous. So when I buy into the argument when people say, oh, it's different because I was able to see it. But my argument isn't about the court of public opinion, because we as a nation, we're not supposed to go by the court of public opinion. We're supposed to be a republic, which is a nation of laws, which means if there's a crime, it gets handled by the proper authorities in the court system, not by public outcry. So now you have public outcry. You have in the Chicago case, you have white rage, and you have the rage of everybody else that saw this video. But the majority, like, this story is going to really affect people who have family members with special needs and white people seeing a white person being tortured like this. Like, and I'm not even to make it about race. I think anybody will feel bad, because I felt bad. I was angry. And I wanted those kids to be punished, and I'm not a white person. But I think This is used to inflame those divisions. But still, to my original point, you have a crime in Idaho that's a parallel to this crime, except for this crime happened on one day, one instance, and was recorded and put on Facebook. The crime that happened in Idaho was this person was experiencing abuse for months, and then it ultimately led up to these people holding him down and raping him with a hanger. It shouldn't matter whether it was public. Wait, hold on. But it shouldn't matter if it was publicized on Facebook or behind allegedly closed doors like in Idaho. The court system shouldn't care one way or the other. The court system should look at the crime itself and the factors of those crimes and treat the perpetrators accordingly. So I'm not calling for special treatment because you're white or black. I'm calling for equal treatment along the lines of you committing a crime. The same extent that is being pursued against these black teens should have been pursued to the same extent, if not more, because of the systematic harassment and the ongoing continuous nature in Idaho should have been applied to them. Now, I understand as a lawyer that different states have different laws and different penalties, but everybody has a law against rape. Everybody has a law against abuse. Everybody has a law against torture. And to just see that one group swept it under the rug so much versus now everybody's calling for blood in this one, it just, to me, it boggles the mind. I can't believe that we live in such a country with double standards. And that's what it boils down to, is double standards. I'm not asking for special treatment. I'm asking that everybody be treated accordingly. You know, if a murderer was black, if a murderer was white, he should be treated as a murderer. Race has nothing to do with it. If race is a motivating factor, they charge him with a hate crime. What really, what really, really is a stark contrast and what really just makes me uneasy about how this is all playing out in the media is these four kids did something incredibly stupid, incredibly evil to this poor young man. But because they're white, because he's white, the victim, and they're black, the media is calling for hate crimes to be charged against them, and they have been charged against them. But then we look at different situations where the crime is just as heinous, and no one's asking for hate crimes to be filed against those perpetrators. As a matter of fact, as I said earlier, that perpetrator, the ringleader, the one who masterminded this and got his other friends involved, got a choice to plead to a lesser crime and not register as a sex offender, go to jail for one day, or even pay 1 cent in fine. You know, you can't sit there and look me in the face and say that this is equality or fair or justice. You know, unfortunately for the young man in the Chicago case, and I feel for him, I truly do. First thought I had was of my own nephew and how I would probably be in jail if somebody told me that something happened like this to him. But the first thing that screams out to me is nobody wins in this situation. Nobody wins. The young man has been tortured. These kids committed an evil act. And even if, you know, somehow, you know, they go to jail for this, no one wins. The white community doesn't get a victory for charging these people with hate crimes and, you know, putting a stamp on this young man who will be irrevocably hurt and scarred by this event, and the black community doesn't win if by somehow there's a defense that comes out that these kids weren't in their right mind. Everybody loses.
Well, one of those four kids couldn't have been in their right mind because, from my understanding, he was a classmate of the one with the special needs, the special needs boy.
And apparently they all
special
were.
Needs, did he go to a special school?
Yeah, they all went to that same school. They all knew each other. But see, the media didn't report that initially, which is what I commented on earlier. Like, the media did not report on the fact that all of these, everybody involved knew each other. See, what the media did was the media tried to portray this story in a certain light. They tried to make it very black and white, no pun intended. They tried to make it seem like these four African-American teens went out to target a white kid because they hate white people and they hate Donald Trump. That's how it was first reported in all the major news outlets. now as more information is starting to come out, we start to find out that, one, the victim should not have been left alone by himself in McDonald's. And I will never blame the victim because it's not his fault. But those who were charged with taking care of him left him by himself in McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how
that
he ended
was
up,
one
which
thing
why,
I was thinking about,
how,
too.
Which is how he ended up in the van with these kids in the first place. The second thing, no one reported all these kids knew each other. And so they all knew each other because they all go to the same school, which means every last one of them is suffering from some type of cognitive deficiency, some type of special need. Now, I am not going to justify them having special needs for the act that they did because obviously they had enough sense to post it on social media. So I'm not going to sit there and give them – I'm not going to just give them a pass because, like I said, and I will reiterate this stance, so until something comes out that makes me change my mind, like some smoking gun, I think these kids deserve to be punished to the full extent of the law. What I'm not happy with, and just removing the crime itself, removing the incident itself, because no one wins in that situation, I'm not happy with how the media takes tragedy such as this to try and spin a new narrative, to try and make an issue out of something that is not an issue. If that kid had been black and the perpetrator is white, I would be saying the same exact thing. If that kid had been Asian and the perpetrator is Hispanic, if that kid had been polka dot and the perpetrator is striped, I would have been saying the same exact thing. The crime was heinous. The kids or the perpetrators, whoever did this to him, deserves to be punished to the full extent of the law. What the media is doing now is trying to raise racial questions, trying to make this a is this something more? Is this how race relations in America are going to devolve into? No, that's not the case until the media tells them it's the case. And that's my problem with this, with what's going on in the news right now.
And that's what I was trying to just explain with K-Down. And, of course, you know, he had a good point about it, was that if you came to the U.S. and you seen something like that, and it's on repeat, you're not really trying to get the full information, or maybe you might not be understanding, but you're going to think something that might not be true of, you know, African Americans, and I just don't. I'm not in favor of that. No, I know the case shouldn't be considered something racial, but I'm not a fan of that. And then also, I also heard a lot of, with the other case, well, that was in another area. That was Idaho. That's what they did. That's what they chose to do. So, you know, you can't get mad at them for what they chose to do, which I think is bull in within itself. So this is a lot of stuff to it.
It's crap, and you should call it as such, because everybody knows, or at least I would hope everybody's been taught the difference between right and wrong. You know that a crime, like, I don't care what the law is in Connecticut versus Alaska versus Florida versus California on murder. But everybody knows that if someone commits murder, they should be punished, right? I think we're all in agreement. I think I can ask any American walking around that that's the case. Just like I should be able to ask any American, not saying the race of the victim and the perpetrator. If I was to say one man killed another man, don't you think he should be punished? I guarantee you 100% of Americans will say yes. If I said one person raped and tortured another person, don't you think they should be punished? Yes. So the average American citizen would agree that those situations deserve punishment, what then becomes the deciding factor, or what then becomes the factor that makes them put special conditions on things? It becomes race. It becomes, oh, this particular race is the perpetrator in this case. Let me look for an excuse, or let me look for a way to minimize the ramifications of what they actually did, versus this race was the perpetrator of this action. Let me vilify, condemn, and just basically put them down and apply this to all of them, not just the perpetrator. And that's the problem that we have in this country. It boils down deeper than this. This is just an example. This, to me, it's like if racism was a disease, this incident is a symptom. And you can treat a symptom, but it won't cure the disease. So this is nothing but a manifestation. This is nothing but a manifestation of a much larger problem in the United States. And a much larger problem in the United States is, regardless of what anybody wants to tell you, regardless of what a conservative, a liberal, a Republican, a Democrat, anybody will ever want to say, the elephant in the room, so to speak, is we as a country have a history of murder, violence, and oppression against marginalized minority groups. And I don't like using the term minority because there's nothing minor about any of these people. But as far as sheer population, groups that happen to be in the minority, and that includes your African Americans, your Latino American communities, your Asian American communities, and your Native American communities, and Middle Eastern America, all of those different groups that are marginalized. But specifically speaking to the African American community, this nation has never once repaired, faced, or even had a serious discussion about healing the racial divide and wounds between the people. You got so many people who were ready to declare we were in a post-racial society because we had Barack Obama as the president the past 8 years. But when you look at it, people still harbor racial hatred and can't give you an actual justification for it. And so you see incidents like this in Chicago versus incidents like in Idaho. And I'm pretty sure if you want to throw all these incidents in, you can look at police shootings. You know, you can look at all that stuff too. And you just realize that those are symptoms of a much deeper, more profound issue that we just refuse to address. I mean, I'm going to tell you like this. As somebody like myself, who I like to think that I'm an objective thinker, that I can look at the facts and I can kind of get down to the issue at hand and kind of see both sides of the argument or both sides of the issue because I'm being objective. I can tell you how pervasive the racial problem is in the United States just off of my personal anecdotal reaction to the story of what happened in Chicago, of the poor white kid with special needs being targeted by those black teens. My initial reaction, and this is sad, and I'm actually slightly embarrassed to admit this, but my initial reaction wasn't, oh, my God, this is so horrendous. I hope that this kid with special needs is okay. My initial reaction was, man, these black kids then put a tarnish on the black community, and now we're going to be targeted for their stupidity. My second thought was, I really hope this kid is okay and that these kids should pay for their heinous crimes. But my first initial thought was, there's going to be racial problems because of this. There's going to be racial tension because of this. And that's how I know that racism is a disease in this country. If my initial reaction isn't to automatically sympathize with a kid who deserves everyone's sympathy and support, it was, I hope this does not make black folks look bad. And I think that's an issue. And it really comes down because racism is still a disease in this country. And, you know, instead of being a tool to help mend those fences, the media has become an agent to make sure it's become an aggravating factor of the disease of racism. You know, the media is not using its influence in a way to basically say, hey, let's try and heal these wounds. Let's project positivity. The media has become this sensationalized monstrosity that is always looking for controversy because controversy sells. And if controversy can be stirring up racial fears and prejudice, mainstream media has no problem doing that.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that before.
Yes, I did. If they will replay something that has controversy in it 20 hours of the 24 hours and only do something positive maybe 30 minutes. I mean, like, it's not a big thing, but, like, look at the rapper Slim Thug. I mean, he's not a rapper anymore. He retired, but he just brought, I think it was 20 or 24 houses in his neighborhood, fixed them up, and selling them to the people who's living in the neighborhood already. You ain't gonna hear about that.
No.
You ain't even hear nothing about Akon providing over 100 million people in Africa with lights.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. Or was it like 10 million? I probably went a little bit too high.
No, I think you were right. I think it was somewhere around like 100 million. It was some crazy, ridiculous amount.
You didn't hear the media say nothing. But my mama and my daddy are giving this African kid 50 cents a day for the past 15 years, and they've been sending us pictures every year. I can't say his name, but they've been sending us pictures every year, and they ain't even able to do what they really saying they doing, because I don't know who that is on that picture. He probably ain't even from Africa.
Yeah.
But Akon took his personal money and provided power to the people.
But you see, it's to the point where if you are consciously thinking about these issues and you're consciously thinking about the different controversies that keep coming up, you start to get jaded. Or maybe that's just me, but I know for me personally, I'm just going to speak for me personally. I'm not going to generalize a whole bunch of people, but for me personally, seeing all of these different controversies, seeing the fact that people can't get help, or you know, there's always a string attached to whenever you try and go through an organization, you just become jaded, because now you look at it like, man, the people who are trying to do good have all these ridiculous obstacles thrown their way out of nowhere. And then the people who are cheating, the people who are abusing power, the evil men with their evil schemes and machinations, nothing happens to them. You know, they get away with it, and then if they are caught, it's like, oh, well, you know, such is life. And so I think that problem is actually way deeper than anything that could be racial. You know, when Chase, Zanon, and I went out to Standing Rock, we had a conversation around one of the sacred fires where we were talking about where do we go from here now that, you know, Trump has been elected president. And I said, well, I think the next big political divide or political shift is going to be around age and not race. I said they'll try and use race as a distraction for as long as they can. And as long as you have people who are small-minded enough to, one, fall for the trap, and two, fall for the trap to the point where they don't understand this is an issue that needs to be resolved and resolved quickly, you know, then race will always be a distracting factor. But I said, I think you're looking at a point where our generation and every generation that comes after us, because we're going to be the most educated poor generation. Our parents' generation and the generation before them, the baby boomers, they messed up the country. They messed up the economy. They messed up the debt system. Like, we owe money to pay not only for their generation, but now we have to pay for our own. You have so many kids with degrees, myself included, that have mountains of debt and are going to be paying this off for the rest of their life. No real chance to improve, build wealth, all that stuff because of the amount of debt. But yet the generation before us kept telling us we needed to go to college to get these jobs. We needed to go to college to get a good job. And then they made college exorbitantly expensive. You know, like, I just had a lawyer in my firm tell me with a laugh, with a smirk and a smile on his face, that when he went through law school, he had to pay a grand total for all 3 years of law school. It cost him $7,000 to go to law school for 3 years. It cost me to go to law school for 1 year, Loyola, was like $55,000 a year.
Mm.
Now that's ridiculous. In the course of 30 years, the price nearly went up 10 times.
But we supposed to be the future.
But yeah, we're supposed to be the future, but...
I don't mean to cut you off, come on. But the show is actually done. We're a little bit off air. And I kind of figured this would happen. That's why I promised people a part two from you. But we'll have to set that up.
And I
appreciate you coming on the show, brother, man. It was definitely, this is what I was looking for. This is what I was hoping for. And it was, you gave a phenomenal show, as I figured you would. And, of course, we're going to have more topics to talk about. And I appreciate you. I'm going to definitely hit you up, man. Katie, I'm going to hit you up as well. I wish we had more time. And I think we're going to have to extend the show because that was just too good. So,
Man, just let me know. Let me know when y'all would like me to come back on. I told y'all, man, you know, unfortunately, the last couple times we couldn't link up. I mean, I've just been busy, man. I've been trying to, you know, I'm trying to make it at work, trying to put my stamp on things. And actually, right after I get off the phone with y'all, I'm about to sit here in my house and work on a brief that I got to have done by Tuesday. So, you know,
it's just a couple things
that come up. But yeah, I definitely enjoy talking with you fellas.
I'm glad you made it, you know, good from the accident, man, because, you know, I don't want you injured. I don't want anybody that I know injured, so I'm happy that you're good.
Oh, yeah.
You need, man, so.
I appreciate it. I was going to say, the accident, man, I'm just going to clarify for you. It was bad from the standpoint that I had to, like, take my car into the shop and everything, but I was never in any serious bodily harm. It was all body damage to my car. Yeah, it just was an inconvenience because I had to literally take out that whole day, and then I had to take off Monday to really take it to the shop and get it out the shop. And it was just a big hassle and inconvenience. But yeah, other than that, it wasn't too bad. I wasn't suffering too much, you know. I was $500 lighter though because I had to pay to get the bumper replaced and all that.
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. But appreciate you coming through, man. K-Down, I'm going to check in with you. And this is easy. Most known, unknown, easy old soul. And I'm going to check out with you guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
All right, y'all.